of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to see you on Wednesday night. Amen. As we bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this evening. Where you lead us, we will follow. And Lord, we want to thank you for being under your leadership, because you have never misled even one person in the history of humankind. Whenever you lead a human being, the end thereof is always life. And whenever the devil leads a human being, the end thereof has always been death. And this evening, we are thankful that we are led by you. And Lord, it doesn't matter where you lead us through, as long as we are led by you, we will follow. We have seen how you led them through the fire, but the fire never burnt them. Some you led them through the lion's dens, the lions never devoured them. Some you led them through the Red Sea, you parted the waters. And Lord, I know that this evening, whoever needs you as a leader, you are available to let them follow your God. We are going to read the Bible as people we can read, but we need your grace, dear God, because many have attempted to read on their own, and they've come to their own wild interpretations. Lord, we depend on you tonight. There's a prayer request here of Sister Lois, who's not feeling well. We are sending a prayer her way. You know better, dear God. May you touch her and make her whole, because we believe that you are the great physician. Lord, whoever you touches, you will make them whole completely. And maybe in the building there are those that are sick. There are those that are going through various trials. I just want to commit every person in the building to you and say, minister to them whatever they need. And Lord, deliver them from whatever situation they may be finding themselves in. You are the God that knows the hearts. You are the God that knows what troubles the heart. But tonight, I'm standing in the gap through this prayer and pleading for their cases, dear God. As I commit everybody and including this service to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you richly. Just a couple of minutes. Let's just turn our Bibles to 1 Peter. The chapter will be chapter 1. Amen. The verse will be verse 18 to 19. It's always good when we read together. Amen. For as much amen. Are we all reading? Amen. God bless you. All right. Brother Mbayana once said, and Brother Dipati, they said, hey, Pastor, the reason we can't read is because all of us, we don't see here, but we'll make a plan with the screen there so that everybody can read. Amen. Shall we read with the energy level? Must show that we are quite enthused by this scripture. Amen. It's not an eulogy. It is a scripture that has life. Let's read it.
For as much as you know that you will not begin with corruptible things, as soon as you hold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Verse 19. We were not redeemed by the traditions of our fathers. We are not redeemed by perishable things. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I think let's just leave it there. The rest will just go through while you take your seats and I remain standing. Amen. All right. As we once again greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many are happy this evening? Amen. I want to speak on redemption. Amen. I want to speak on redemption. Amen. We are a redemption story unfolding. Hallelujah. We are the redemption story unfolding. Amen. Something struck me when I was reading about this redemption story. When I realized that great was the work of redemption, great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. Do you get that? Great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. Because I realized it did cost more to redeem us than to make us. Does it sink in, folks? It did cost more to redeem us than to make us. Amen. Maybe just to kickstart with something that I've heard. A young boy had made a boat and invested all that he had to carve out that boat, which was a beautiful wooden boat. And he was proud because his labor took some time until he made something that he was proud of, a little boat. But after he had completed, and while he was yet to cherish the boat was stolen. Hallelujah. You can imagine, as a young boy, he was heartbroken that my boat is now stolen. And it broke the lad's heart. But one day, after a couple of months, he was walking in town, walking past a pawn shop, and he looked through the window, and he saw his boat. Hallelujah. And as the normal reaction would be, he barged into the store, confronted the store owner, and said, "That's my boat." And the shop owner did not have none of it. He says, "That's my boat." And the boy said, "But that's my boat." And the shop owner said, "But I bought it somewhere. It's mine." And the young boy was told that for you to get your boat back, you've got to pay $2, which was quite exorbitant amount during that time. So he made a deal with the shop owner that just give me a couple of weeks or a month, I will definitely come and buy this boat. He went around cutting grass to raise the $2, and he raised the $2, came back to the store, paid for the boat. That boat was his. Paid $2, he came out with the boat, and we are told that he carried the boat and said to the boat, "You are mine twice." Hallelujah. Does somebody that is struck a chord with somebody? And this evening I can see the boy made the boat, and when he made the boat was his. But when he went to redeem the boat became his twice. You, God made you. Hallelujah. And the devil took you and put you in a pawn shop. And one day Jesus burst into the pawn shop and said, "She's mine, he's mine." The devil said, "You need to pay something." Hallelujah. And what was required was life. And he gave out his life and redeemed you and got hold of you. And today he's saying to the devil, "You, my son, You, my daughter, you are mine twice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. If he claims me twice, I would much better appreciate him twice.
Yes.
How many were in the pawn shop at some point in time? Hallelujah. Hopeless, captured by the enemy. But the King of Glory took a body of flesh and went all the way to Golgotha, hung on the cross, gave up his life, and rose again to redeem you. And today he can say, you are mine twice. Are we together? Amen. So we are going to speak about redemption, folks. If, excuse me, if our lives were perfect, if our lives were righteous, if our lives were holy, there was no need for him to go on the cross. What remade him, or what required him to go to the cross, is that none of our lives was holy, perfect, righteous. Did you hear me? All of us, maybe when I address you tonight, including me as a pastor, my life was not holy, was not perfect. That's why he had to go on Calvary for me. What I'm simply saying, every man and woman or every mortal is meant to benefit from the cross. He died for you. And if you were perfect, he would have never died for you. Are we together? As I'm moving on with redemption, it's not a license to go and sin more. But I've realized that a heart that appreciates the Lord would avoid to grieve the Lord. Are we together, folks? Amen. Now, Brother Brenham says in this message, who is this Melchizedek? Amen. Paragraph 15. He says, redemption, and God has a way of redemption. Redeem means to be brought back. So that means the analogy or the story that I told you of the young boy. If it was for the first time that he had to go into the store to buy the boat, it was not redemption. Because the boat was not his to begin with. Redemption, it simply means something was lost and something is being brought back to the rightful owner. Are we together? So it has to be lost first and brought back. The process of bringing it back to the original owner is what we call redemption. Are we together? And listen to what the prophet is going to say. I've realized that if I was to make a statement and say, thieves are evil. If somebody was to take an offense to that statement and say, past brother, why would the pastor say thieves are evil? It would mean that person is a thief. Stay with me. There's somewhere where I'm going. What I'm simply saying is that Brother Branham says there are people that are redeemable and there are people that are not redeemable. And if one is not redeemable, would be offended and say, what do they say in that church when they say some people are not redeemable? Already you realize that there's a problem there. But whoever is being called or is redeemable, the moment they hear a statement that some are redeemable, some are not redeemable, you see them raising their hands and say, God, thank you for making me redeemable. So already it tells you that they are in a certain class. Are you here, folks? If the prophet comes and he says, there is a serpent seat and there is an elected seat, and somebody gets offended by the serpent seat, already we know that there is a problem. Hallelujah. If he comes and he says, I'm speaking about eagles, and he makes a contrast between an eagle and a chicken, and somebody gets offended by the chicken part, it shows on which side they are on. Are you here, folks? So because the more he speaks about the eagle will rejoice and say, that's my part in the scripture. Are you here, folks? So I'm simply saying the quotation that I'm going to read here, not here, wherever the tape may go. Some may be offended and say, what does it mean? Redeem means to be brought back. Every time I see a pawnbroker with those three balls hanging, you know, in front, it makes me think. I hope there is not a pawnbroker here. If there is, I don't mean this to you, say, whoever is a pawnbroker. That's the way you make a living. I suppose it's legitimate. And you've always have a right to do that. Amen. You know, the devil put us in the pawn shop. But Christ redeemed us from the pawn shop. Hallelujah. Christ came and paid the price. And we are free this evening. He goes further to say, God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates it to be true. Actually, the previous quotation is from the message Job, paragraph 15. I'm now in Who is This Melchizedek, paragraph 116. He says, God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates it to be true. Show plainly, the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Did we hear that one? It says, did you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making it like they, or think like they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very way it redeem means to bring back, to redeem something, to bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. Now, if you check what the prophet simply says, if we are the children of God, we had our original estate, original place that we occupied. But through the fall, we lost our estate. Are we together? And we are told by the prophet that when we moved from our position, Jesus Christ, God, because Jesus Christ is God made flesh, God made flesh took our place. Hallelujah. To start a process of redemption. The reason he was born, hallelujah, I was shocked in the message Hebrews. Brother Branham says, the reason Jesus, because you remember, Melchizedek met Abraham when he returned from the slaughter of the kings. Melchizedek went to the household of Abraham and Sarah. Melchizedek, Moses saw the back part of a man. And the question was posed, why did not that man that moved through the pages of the Bible, why in that form, why did he not come and die for us? Now the prophet says he could not come in that form because he had to come through the channel of death. Hallelujah. So our natural birth is a channel of birth. Hallelujah. That's why Job says, a man that is born by a woman, his days are numbered. So as soon as he was born, he had to be born the way you are born. He had to go through what you are going through. Because he had to be a king's man redeemer. Are we together? God is not, and I'm glad that he took that process Because you cannot, even in your wildest imagination, and say, what I go through, God does not understand. He understands. If you are homeless, he was homeless. Are we together? If you are tired, he was tired. If you are ridiculed, he was ridiculed. So whatever humanity is experiencing, he has already experienced that on behalf of humanity. Are you with me? I hope we are with me here. Now, we lost our original estate. And then as we lost our original estate, Brother Branham now brings a subject, a spiritual amnesia. We did not remember where we came from. And then we were absorbed in this wealth system, in various families. You took your mom and your dad's surname, and that one took their dad's surname, that one took that race, that one took the other race, that other one took another tribe. But in the beginning, we were all together as the family of God. But sin made us to scatter. But God took a form, a human form, and was born and raised by Mary. And we know that the body is not God, but God was in the body. I hope we are together here. And that is why, that is where it confused a lot of people that made the body God. Because now, if you worship the body, what are you saying about the one that came down into the body at River Jordan? Are we together? There's a time when he came into the body, and there is a time when he left the body. Brother Branham says, as long as he was in that body, death could not diminish or demise that body. You can never kill God. So he came into the body after the baptism at River Jordan when he descended in the form of a dove and asked the question, who do men say I am? It was not Jesus that was born of Mary that asked the question, but it was the one that indwelt Jesus. Who do men say I am? That's why Peter never said, you are Jesus. Hallelujah. That is not the identification that was required today. What was required is that thou art Christ. What does it mean? The acknowledgement of the eternal part of the flesh part called Jesus. I hope we are together here. And the reason I'm showing you about Jesus, you will never realize your full potential until you observe the life of Jesus. Because when you left your position, Jesus took your position as a substitute. Are we together? So it tells you that you are coming into the earth was not supposed to be through death, through sin, a way of sin. You were supposed to be a product of the spoken word as much as Jesus was the product of the spoken word. Jesus had no sin upon him. You were meant not to have sin upon you. But because of the fall, you moved out of your position and Jesus became a substitute. And when he became a substitute, he moved around life, interacted with humanity, and he said, I cannot do anything until I see the Father showing me what to do. So he was under the leadership of the Father. Are you still with me here? Now, as long as God was in Jesus, or as long as Elohim was in Jesus, you would have never destroyed that body. And then the only time where the body could be destroyed, it was when the body was brought to Gethsemane. Because at Gethsemane, he who came into the body at Jordan left the body in Gethsemane. That's why your prophet comes and he puts a profound statement. He says Jesus died more death in Gethsemane than on the cross. Hallelujah. That is beyond theology, folks. This is the diet for the predestinated seed. What does it mean? He left the body. Because as long as he was in the body, there was not even a spear could not kill that body. So he had to leave the body. That is why when the body went all the way to the cross, the body cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because he who came into the body left the body. Hallelujah. I hope we are together here. I want you to understand when he came into the body and when he left the body. And I want you to understand what happened when he was in the body. When he was in the body, there was not even a single demon that can stand before him. When he was in the body, the dead had to rise. When he was in the body, he stopped the funeral processions. When he was in the body, he answered people their whatever they needed. He answered to their prayers. Are you here, folks? And I'm saying Jesus took your position because you left your position. But what is the purpose of him coming down? It's to bring man to his ought-to-be position. That means if the demons could not stand in the presence of Jesus, when a man is returned back to his original position, the demons will never stand in the presence of that man. Are you here with me, folks? I hope we are together here. I had much better boldly put it. So you have a power to stop a funeral procession. Oh, yes. You have the power to walk on water without sinking. You have the power to multiply bread and fish. And if you want to sum it up, what do we call that? The third pool ministry. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand that. And when we left our position, we became bound. We were now driven by our fears. We were now driven by this flesh. We were now ruled by sin. The devil took us and put us in the pawn shop. Hallelujah. But when he left the body in Gethsemane and allowed the body to go all the way to Calvary, and he hung on the cross and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That process began what we call a redemption process. If the devil had known what the cross would have done, he would have never killed Jesus. It was more safer for Jesus to be alive than for him to die and rise again. Because what happened there? When he died and rose again, it brought a spiritual multiplication. We are no longer talking about one man from Galilee. Now we are talking about men and women from Emalatleni. We are talking about men and women from Zimbabwe. But what brought that spiritual multiplication? His death and his resurrection. Because the same power that was in him has now moved into the heart of the believer. Hallelujah. Did you hear? The same power that was in Jesus has now moved into the heart of the believer. In the Old Testament, they killed the bulls and the goats, but the life thereof could not come into the heart of the believer because the bulls and goats are animals. They are without a soul. But as soon as Jesus died, his spirit, God gave the spirit back into the church to lead the church. So what does it mean? It means that if you were looking for an answer during the time of Jesus, you had to find Jesus to provide a solution. But if you are looking for an answer in our time, you can look up and down. You will not find Jesus because he emphed himself and canvassed himself into the church. Are you here, folks? That means we are him expressed in our time. Hallelujah. Say, I would like to see Jesus. Then the Greek saw a man. Today, say, I would like to see Jesus. I'm seeing message believers. What happened? The life that was in Jesus has been kenosed. And Brother Branham uses the word kenos. It says it does not mean he emptied a basket into he emptied something into something. He simply said he emptied himself. He became that. He was Elohim. He emptied himself into Christ. It means you cannot say there is Elohim that poured himself into Christ. That means Elohim, he emptied himself into Christ. Now then when you have Christ, he comes, he says, then Christ emptied himself into the church. What does it mean? It means now Christ has become the church. Are you here, folks? I want you to get that, because if you get, because there is no use. There is no use if you were lost and we ask you, hey, you are lost, but where do you come from? And you don't know. It is difficult because we can't redeem you back. But when we know your address and we know where we need to take you to, you remember Brother Bram speaks about a soldier that had a spiritual amnesia. He says this soldier, he had spiritual amnesia, and they were bringing them home. And he said, as they were moving on the bus, he saw a little path that went down. And when he got there, he said to the bus driver, stop. And they stopped. He moved out, and they followed him. And as they followed him, that path led him to his house. But he says what brought the realization is that there was the cross. And that cross brought in remembrance of where he came from. I'm talking about you, soldier. There was a time when you did not know who you were. There was a time when you did not know where you came from. But one day you saw the cross and you said, stop the bus. And you saw a little path called the message of the hour. And you disembarked from the worldly bus and you took a little path, a road less traveled. And when you took that, it brought you back to your original state. Are we together, folks? I hope we were together here. Now, he says, and folks, Brother Branham says, while I'm still with that statement that only the predestinated are considered in redemption, this message, it must be heard all over. We must testify. That's our obligation. But there is something that consoles me. Brother Branham says, in this message, question and answers, paragraph 179, he says, I've watched for something. He says, has it not slipped by us in humility and we have missed it? Is it not gone, the church? Is it left? Is the church left? Is the church is left in her sins? If that be so, then it's later than you think. He said, there is coming one with a message that's straight on the Bible. Guys, the one that said there was one coming is the very one that was coming. We are not looking for another man. Brother Branham was the last messenger. Seven stars in the prophets, in Jesus' hand. So when you become eight, you are a star, but not from Jesus' hand. Amen. We won't dispute that. If one says he's a star, you can't dispute that. You just know that, okay, that is not from Jesus' hand. Amen. And it says, then there's coming one with a message that's straight on the Bible, and quick work will cycle the earth. The seeds will go in newspapers, reading material. What is that? Spoken words. Until every predestinated seed of God has had it. None of them will come unless the Father draweth them. And everyone the Father has drawn will hear it and come. That will be the predestinated seed will hear the word. Are we together? He goes back in the message, taking sides with Jesus. He says it's on tapes. It will go worldwide on tapes where people in their houses, them tapes will fall right into the hands of the predestinated of God. He can direct the way. He will direct everything just exactly to its course. That's the reason he sent me back to do this. Did you hear him? This weight will be directed into the hands of the predestinated ones. And I'd much better say, today you have a message that came your way. The message is on your lap. If I were you, I would say, God, out of 7 billion people, why did you bypass people that were more wealthier than I am to bring this message my way? And I would say, maybe the reason the message is in your lap is because God was obligated to bring this message your way. And he had to bypass the dignitaries to bring this message your way. And folks, why was he obligated to bring the message your way? It's because in the beginning when God was Elohim, you were there as an attribute of God. Are you here together? Brother Bram says you will never become the word unless you were a thought. Because the word is a thought expressed. And today we want the people to become the word. But they will not become the word unless they were a thought. Hallelujah. So that means that the gospel of Malachi 4 is not tracing you on a natural realm. It's not tracing you and trying to convince you on a natural realm. It goes at the back part of the mind of God and begin to locate the original thoughts of God that were expressed in this season and that became flesh. Hallelujah. And what is the best way to locate them? Put the word amongst them. Because when you put the word, those that were in the mind of God, they've got a magnetic power in them to be magnetized to the word when the word is amongst them. Are you here, folks? That's why this message is not a matter of debate. We can debate with you all night, but as long as you are not in his thought, we will not be able to retrieve you. But if you were in his mind before the foundation of the world, even if you are a prostitute or a drunkard, I don't care where you are, but when you were a thought, you will become the weight. And well at it, I had much better say, God does things in a paradoxical manner. I've got four women that I'm going to extract from the Bible. I looked at the family tree of Jesus. And I looked at a woman that you would have never thought in your wildest imagination that they would become the family tree of Jesus. Let's start with the first one, Tamar. Hallelujah. Tamar was married to the son of Judah. And the son was called Er. And the son died. And because the Levirate law required that she must be married to the second, to the brother. And the brother called Onan married her. But Onan, while he was married to Tamar, he thought, because you must remember now there is an inheritance at stake. He thought that if I give this woman a son, that means the inheritance will go to the son, and the son will be regarded as my brother's son, not as my son. Are you here? And then we know what you Bible readers, you know. He spilled the seed on the ground. And while at it, I know it's a mixed audience. That scripture is not a justification to negate family planning. I had much better slot it right there. If you want more quotation, who is this Melchizedek? They bring a baby to be dedicated, Billy Paul's son. Brother Branham says, Billy Paul, these grandchildren are appearing too fast. When God said multiply and replenish the earth, the burden he didn't only put it on your shoulders. I'll stop there. You read between the lines. So he spilled the seed on the ground. And God, the reason he smote him dead is because he did not want to fulfill the Levirate law. Are we together? And then later, after the two sons were dead, Judah realized that, listen, we have a problem here. That means if I give my third son, Shelah, to him, to her, he as well is going to die. Then he misled Tamar and said, go back to your father's house because Shelah is still young. But once he has grown up, we will come and bring you back so that he can marry you. And then she left, went back to her father's house. But Judah never honored the promise. But while she was there, Tamar, she became disparate and heard that her mother-in-law had passed away and heard that her father-in-law was on his way somewhere. Then Tamar went there, disguised herself as a temple prostitute.
Hallelujah. And seduced Judah. And when they were there, she required and said, "You must give me a deposit," because he said, "No, I will send you a goat." But he says, "No, but give me something now." Then he gave him the staff, the cord, you know what he gave him, all those elements that were given to her. Later, it was the news went back to Judah, and it was said that your daughter-in-law has now acting the pastor of a prostitute. She is even pregnant. Listen to when a person is not the one that is in the problem. Says, get her and show that she must be banned, because she was not supposed to leave. But Tamar sent what she had received from Judah and said, "May you inspect this element and check who's owner of these things." And when he went to check, he realized that these are my things. Then he said, "She's more righteous than I am." But look, this story, it makes believers uncomfortable. You've got one acting as a prostitute. You've got an incest relationship. You've got everything that you have there that has gone wrong. But despite that, despite Tamar's background, Tamar was a daughter of God. And when the Messianic lineage was supposed to be constructed, Tamar was brought into the lineage. And who are you today to tell me that Tamar does not qualify? Because only the predestinated are all considered in the redemption. It does not matter where they were. If they are part of redemption, they will be brought back. Are you still there? Let's go further. Rahab, a prostitute. Hallelujah. Received the trespass. Her way of making living was to sell her body. What a horrendous thing. She received two spies and said to the spies, "We have heard about your God. And I have got a question for you. From all the people that were there in Jericho, why many houses were bypassed and only a house of a prostitute received the two messengers?" God is not a respecter of a person. You may look at a person and say they are not worthy of heaven, but you don't know what God says about them in the books of heaven. And I'd much better say, if we were to go into the background of many of you do not qualify to sit where you are sitting. I've heard myself clearly, folks. If we were to go into your family background and check what happened and how you came, some of you are the product of illegitimacy. But God disregarded that, because the blood was shed on Calvary and there was an invitation, whosoever willeth, and there was a seed of God in you that disregarded your environment, and today that's why you are in church. Did you hear me, folks? Amen. Rahab, they came. She said, "We have heard about what your God did, how he opened the Red Sea." And I don't know, because they did not have internet, how did the news get to her? "We have heard what your God did in the wilderness. We have heard about the battle that was fought and how your God fought that battle for you. And as a result, in this nation, a fighting spirit exists no more in any man and woman against you because of your God." And she said, "But you've got to make me a promise. You've got to make me a promise that when you come, you are going to save me and my household." And they gave her a token, and they said, "As long as this token is here, you and your household are saved." I can imagine Rahab, after the two spies had left, going to her father and saying, "Father, there's a problem coming. We are going to face destruction. But the only place of safety is in my house." The very house where men walked in and walked out because she was a prostitute. I don't know how many times a family called aside and said, you, the kind of life that you live is undesirable. Why don't you get a decent job? But after she disregarded them, she comes with a new gospel. There is a distraction coming, and the only place of safety is the very place where I stay. How do you believe that? If you were Rahab's brother, were you going to believe that? If you are where you are, I would say, maybe she's high on drugs. Maybe this man that went to her house introduced her to a new powerful drug. But little did they know, much as she was a prostitute, there was a difference between who she was and what she was. What she was a prostitute, but who she was a daughter of God. And God will always overlook what you are to connect with who you are. If he had looked into what we are, I say many of us don't qualify to be in church. There are people out there that qualify to be in your seat. See, I was raised in a good family, cultured. A family of teetotalers, people that don't drink. I was part of that family. But he went and found you with a broken background. Rahab began to testify. And you must remember it was a secret gospel. The king must not know about it. Come to my house. God is going to save you if you are in my house. The same prostitute, God saw fit that she must become part of the lineage of Messiah. Hallelujah. You know why I'm doing that? I want to show that it can't get worse than where you are. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ruth, a Moabite. Naomi leaves her homeland. She did backslide. Whenever a Jew leaves the homeland, that's backsliding. She left and went among the Moabites. The two sons died. The father died. Calamity fell on the family. Hallelujah. Do you see if God wants to pull in a predestined seed, what he can do? He will remove people. He will change and move elements to bring them in. I believe that although Naomi and her husband backslid, but it was God's predestinated plan, because had they not left homeland, they would have never gotten in touch with Ruth. And after they got in touch with Ruth, after the three men died, Naomi said, it's about time that I'm going back home. And she took her voyage on her way back home. And as she was moving back home, she had the two daughters, Orpah and Ruth. Then she said, listen, my daughters-in-law, there's no way that I could give birth to sons that you would marry them. What I think needs to happen, you need to go back and carry on with your life. Orpah said, that's a sound gospel. I am going back. When you go and trace in the lineage, you find that Orpah and Lot's wife, they are related. Are we together? Although Lot's wife died, but the spirit remained. Brother Branham said, people die, but the spirit remained. And when she went back, and you know Lot's wife went out, but stopped on the way and looked back, and she turned into the pillar of salt. Hallelujah. Are we together? Orpah went out and later went back. But Ruth, if you check, there was nothing about Naomi that should have convinced Ruth that God is alive. Your father died. Your husband died. Our husbands died. And you are destitute. You are going back to your homeland with absolutely nothing. And he says, but go back to Moab. She says, I will not go back. Your God shall become my God. Your people shall become my people. Why would such a young woman make such a bold statement? And check how it boils down. When you go back, you'll find that Boaz, he is a descendant of a man called Salmon, who married Rahab. And you go and check that there was a house of Judah and the house of Levite. One was the house of priesthood, the other it was the house of royalty. But when these two lines, they converged in a man called Boaz. So Boaz is both a prince and a priest. Jesus is both a prince and a priest. That is why he calls you are part of the royal priesthood. Because royalty and priesthood have converged. But Ruth, being a Moabite, being an unbeliever worshipping her gods, today she is the grandmother of Jesus Christ. What made her qualify? Grace made her to qualify. Bathsheba, a woman that was complicit in David's adultery. When men are out there fighting war, David was there out there in the balcony looking down, and his eye caught a woman that was bathing Bathsheba. And he called Bathsheba. You know the story how it unfolded. Bathsheba was Uriah's wife. And we know that after whatever happened, David purposed in his heart that Uriah must die. And later we know that the child that Bathsheba and David had died. But Bathsheba went on to become the mother of Solomon. But Bathsheba went on to be incorporated in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying the lineage of Jesus Christ is imperfect. The lineage of Jesus Christ is broken. The lineage of Jesus Christ was unholy. But a holy God took the people that were unworthy and made them worthy to become part of the family of God. And today, it is repeating the people that are unholy, the people that are unworthy. God saw fit that they must come from different backgrounds. Some of them were drug addicts. Some of them were alcoholics. Some of them were adulterers. But God disregarded that and said, according to redemption, they are mine. Hallelujah. He made you, but he died for you. Now today he has taken a possession of you. He's telling the devil, she's mine, not once, but twice. But today I can say, you are his not only twice, but thrice. He made you. You understand what I'm talking about? He made you. He died for you on Calvary. On Sunset Mountain, a mighty angel stepped out of eternity. Did you hear what the prophet says? He says, all the saints of all ages, maybe just to, if I slot something in it, the seven church ages is a woman. The seals is a man. Did you hear that? The seven church ages was God building up a church. The seals is a husband coming to the church. That's why there was a man in this generation. He came between the seven church ages and the seven seals. He preached the message, the bridge. Hallelujah. And he brought the woman and the husband together. That's what he said. He said the seals is him. The seven church ages is the church. Hallelujah. But now the two are being brought together. But when I look at the church, hallelujah, it reminds me when God instructed Uzziah to go and marry that prostitute. It's there in the scripture. You wonder, how can a holy God instruct a holy prophet to go and marry a prostitute? God has littered the Bible with example to show you that the devil must never tell you that you do not qualify. I qualify, David. God made me to qualify. Are we together? And when I look at the people that form part of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, many of them, you go and search in their background. I like how one pastor put it. He started his message by reading the scripture where it says, an illegitimate child is not allowed to come into the presence of God for the fourth generation. For a generation is how many years? 40 years, 40 times 4. 160. Oh, okay. Some wanted to take out a calculator. Amen. So for 160 years, a child was not supposed to come into the presence of God. Now let's take it this way. Jesus comes, he says, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to magnify the law. So that means if it was 160, it has to be magnified. So that means if we were to go and search in most of you and check in your generation, some of you would not even go 10 years backwards, would find that actually there's been a legitimate child. And that law disqualifies you to come from the presence of God. But the beauty about it, when the blood spilt on the cross, it broke that and made you to qualify. Because why? You were redeemable. Amen. Just before I go, I close. When a car, I'm just told that, I think it's VW, is recalling some of the cars. Ford. Is it Ford Cougar? The one that was a microwave on four wheels. It was once recalled because of a factory fault. When Ford recalls a product, they have a serial number for every product. They know what is the VIN number, is it VIN number? All those things, they know them. So you cannot, when Ford recalls a specific model, and you come driving a Toyota to Ford and say, I've heard that you are recalling vehicles. They will look at you and say, have you got a problem? Because we are Ford, we are not Toyota. They know the cars that they have made. Hallelujah. Even if one car can come after having the body of Ford, they will know with the engine number that actually is not Ford. So in the end time, there has been a recall of the divine products of God. Hallelujah. They were scattered around the globe. They did not know who they were. And the recall was the message of the hour. And they came from different nationalities. And they came here. And God has got a serial number of every man and woman that must go into the rapture. And I've got good news for you. He's not going to lose any of them. That's why it says this message will go into the hands of the predestinated one. You know why? If you are a trucking company, they've got a workstation. If a car goes missing, they immediately log onto the computer and it shows the signal where the car is. But the thieves are very clever this time. I once worked for a company. We lost a truck and we're looking for a truck. And the trucking company kept on saying, just look 5 meters from where you are standing. The truck should be there. We looked 5 meters. There is nothing. Only to find that they took the gadget and threw it into the bin. So the gadget was working in the dustbin. The truck was long gone. But the signal was indicating that the truck must be there. Are we together? But this one, there's no way that that gadget can be extracted from the unit. The unit was put by God there. So God sent out the message around, and the message was preached in different nationalities. And why do you think, brothers from Congo, Congo has got 160 million people, but why are you the one that have accepted the message? It's because when the message was brought forth, in you, there was something that could respond to the call of God. Among 160 million, God put it in you to respond. And if I was you, I would say, God, I thank you that I'm redeemable. I thank you that you found me and I had to be found. I'm glad I'm part of God's economy and you disregarded my family. You disregarded my background and here I am today. And I want to thank God for that. God bless you richly. How many are happy that they are redeemed? I am redeemed. I am redeemed. If they ask you, who am I, as we stand to our feet, tell them, I am redeemed.
Change my whole life.
going to close with a word of prayer. Brother Dipadi will come and wrap up in prayer for us. We proclaim victory. We depend on the power from above. Amen.
Here we stand. We proclaim victory.
Dear Heavenly Father,
yes.
Father God, we thank you this evening for giving us power to come to your house, Heavenly Father. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, It was worth it, Heavenly Father, to be here, Heavenly Father, because that's where we get, Heavenly Father, the word of life, Heavenly Father.
Exactly.
Even tonight, Heavenly Father, we have heard how we were redeemed, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Now we are able to stand and then we can proclaim the victory, Heavenly Father,
exactly,
for the blood that was shed in Calvary.
Yes.
We say the devil, whatever that you can whisper on our ears, we deny that. The
yes,
devil, whatever that you can say to us, we deny that. We say by that blood that was shed, we are redeemed. By that blood that was shed on Calvary, we are victorious. Heavenly Father, we thank you with the message tonight, Heavenly
Father,
the way you have brought unto us, Heavenly Father, that we can feed, Heavenly Father. Indeed, it is manna from heaven, Heavenly Father, always fresh, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we, Heavenly Father, pray for our pastor.
Who
has brought, Heavenly Father, this message tonight, Heavenly Father. Every time, Heavenly Father, we say, Father, use him, Heavenly Father. May you give him and restore power, Heavenly Father, to him, so that wherever he goes to his closet and study, Heavenly Father, you can reveal more, Heavenly Father. Because you have said in your word, Heavenly Father, I will give you pastor, Heavenly Father, which shall feed us with knowledge, Heavenly Father. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, it is your order, Heavenly Father. That's why, Heavenly Father, we say bless him, bless his family, Heavenly Father, so that it can always rally around him, Heavenly Father, and support him, Heavenly Father. Even we, the laity, Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we can always rally around him, Heavenly Father, so that he can grow, Heavenly Father, and feed us, Heavenly Father. Here are your sons and daughters, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, they came under expectation, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And then we know you are unfailing God, Heavenly Father. Even tonight, Heavenly Father, you have answered them, Heavenly Father. I, for one, Heavenly Father, you have really answered me, Heavenly Father. Just to know, Heavenly Father, that, Heavenly Father, what you have done unto my life, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Let me not be a person who will worry, Heavenly Father, about the past, but just to know that I'm victorious today.
Thank you, Father.
We are thankful, Father, for what you have brought unto us, Heavenly Father. We are thankful for this message of Malachi 4, Heavenly Father.
Lord.
Let it go, Heavenly Father, and get those seeds, Heavenly Father, that are not there, Heavenly Father. We might look from the eye, Heavenly Father, the natural eye, Heavenly Father, but Heavenly Father, there is that eye of an eagle, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
That unseen eye, Heavenly Father, that can go, Heavenly Father, to the places, Heavenly Father, and restore, Heavenly Father. Thank Heavenly Father for the service tonight, Heavenly Father. As we go back home, Heavenly Father, may you continue to bless us, Heavenly Father. May we ponder, Heavenly Father, upon these words that have been uttered, Heavenly Father. Bless our families, Heavenly Father. Bless those that couldn't manage to come, Heavenly Father. Let us have a victorious week, Heavenly Father. And we say when we assemble Sunday, Heavenly Father, we can always come, Heavenly Father, and feed from your table, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We are thankful as you bless each and every one. Bless, Heavenly Father, the service tonight, Heavenly Father, as we hand it back to you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you richly. Have a blessed week of what remains of it. Amen. Brother Obet Dioka will be here on Sunday. He just gave me a call that he will be in the country. Do you mind? He wanted to stop by here. I say, by all means, you are welcome. How many remember Brother Obet Dioka? How many know him? All right. Amen. So he'll be ministering for us on Sunday. God bless you richly. Amen. Another thing, but I will announce it on Sunday. We want to... You remember Brother Patrick? You remember Brother Patrick that came here? How many remember Brother Patrick? Last Sunday he was here, the other Sunday. Says you don't remember. Amen. What I would like to, you know, they say the hand that giveth is the hand that God blesses. We just want to, they are operating in a very poor place there, trying to get the gospel to the people. I'm going to request as a pastor that if you've got clothes that you are not using, just put it at them aside and then bring them to the trustees. I've got somewhere where I can take them to so that they can be used. Amen. Are we together? But I will formally make it on Sunday so that we send something down there. They continue to... We are stewards, you remember? Amen. If you don't like your suit anymore, don't throw it away. Bring it to church. Let's give it to somebody. And once you give it to somebody, God gives you a new suit. Amen. Are we together? Amen. I think Brother Mpanyano once preached the message, the law of reciprocation. It can't be that one. Amen. English fails us. He preached it. Let's hear, Brother Mpain is the one that preached it. What was it, brother? The law of reciprocity. All right. I'll leave it there. You see, I'm not the one that preached it. Amen. So let's say if you've got something, let's gather it. I said to Brother Dipadi, because they come, he doesn't come from far from where Brother Dipadi comes. When he goes there, he will just drop that parcel for us there. That's the least that we can do for his kingdom. Are we together? Amen. When God blesses you, bless somebody else. Amen. God bless you richly. Till I see you on Sunday, have a blessed week. Amen.
Mata sonaki, pupi.